group of young people this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Exodus chapter 1, if you will. Exodus chapter 1. Am I good to go, Joey? All right. Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at a lady today in Exodus chapter 1, and this lady we're going to be looking at is the mother of Moses. And I want to notice some things about her and encourage us today in the influence and the impact that we can have in the lives of others, especially children, and especially our children. But Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15 through 16, and we're going to go to Exodus chapter 2 as well. So Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, and the Bible says this: "And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, notice, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Look over at chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not hide, or could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." So notice what's going on here. In the beginning of the book of Exodus, we've got a evil king that is ruling, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he is the one who took over, of course, after the Pharaoh that was under Joseph. Of course, Joseph, we know, was sold into slavery by his brethren. Joseph became second in command through the Lord's blessing in the nation of Egypt. And we're told here that there was a Pharaoh that came into power that knew not Joseph. Therefore, it's saying he did not know the God of Joseph. He was an evil man. And he was worried that the Israelites, because of their number, and they were the slaves of the Egyptians, he was worried that they were going to outnumber the Egyptians. So he starts to call for all of the Hebrew boys, the newborns, to be killed. Well, of course, there was much bloodshed during that time, but then there was this one mother that we read of here who was unwilling to just stand by and let this happen to her son. There was one mother here that was willing to have an impact on her son, and her son is going to grow up to be the human deliverer, of course, of the power of God, in delivering the people of Israel out of bondage that they were in Egypt. She had an impact on her child. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every mother in attendance here today. I do thank you, Lord, for the mother that you've given me. And I'm sure every single one of us could say that, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, for our mother. Lord, I pray that we would do an even better job, and myself included, Lord, in showing my mother how much I love and appreciate her. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. And Lord, though it's Mother's Day, I truthfully believe that every one of us can learn from this message today and how we can impact other people's lives. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they'd come to know you today. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there were three women: Ann Reeves Jarvis, Julia Ward Howe, and Ann's daughter, Anna M. Jarvis. Anna Reeves Jarvis, known as Mother Jarvis, was a young Appalachian homemaker who taught Sunday school lessons. She also was a lifelong activist who in the mid-1800s had organized Mother's Day work clubs in West Virginia to combat unsanitary living conditions. Reeves Jarvis was concerned about the high infant mortality rate, especially pervasive in Appalachia, and wanted to educate and help mothers that needed it most. During the Civil War, Mother Jarvis had also organized women's brigades, encouraging women to help without regard for which side their men had chosen. After the war, she proposed a Mother's Friendship Day to promote peace between former Union and Confederate families. Julia Ward Howe was a famous poet and reformer. During the Civil War, she volunteered for the U.S. Sanitary Commission, helping them to provide hygiene environments for hospitals and to ensure sanitary conditions during the care of the sick and the wounded soldiers. In 1861, she authored the famous Civil War anthem, The Battle Hymn of the Republic, which was first published in February of 1862. Around 1870, Julia Ward Howe called for a Mother's Day for Peace dedicated to the celebration of peace and the eradication of war, as expressed in what is called her Mother's Day Proclamation from 1870. Howe felt that mothers should gather to prevent the cruelty of war and the waste of life, since mothers of mankind alone bear and know the cost. Howe's version of Mother's Day was held in Boston and other locations for about 30 years, but it died a quick death in the years preceding World War I. Nothing new happened in this department until 1907, when Miss Anna M. Jarvis of Philadelphia took up the banner, if you will. Anna M. Jarvis, after her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, died in 1905, Miss Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia wished to memorialize her mother's life and started campaigning for a national day to honor all mothers. I hope and pray that someone sometime will find a Memorial's Mother's Day commemorating her for her matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. Anna Jarvis once said she is entitled to it, speaking of her mother. Anna's ideas were less about public service and more about simply honoring the role of motherhood and the sacrifices made in the home. She bombarded public figures and various civic organizations with telegrams, letters, and in-person discussions. She addressed groups large and small at her own expense. She wrote and printed and distributed booklets extolling her idea. Why Mother's Day is in the U.S. is in May is because in May of 1907, Anna memorialized her mother's lifelong activism with the memorial service held at the Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, where Anna's mother had taught. The following year, on May 10th, a Mother's Day service was held at the same church to acknowledge all mothers. Thus was born the idea that the second Sunday in May be set aside to honor every mother. Her efforts came to the attention of the mayor of Philadelphia, who proclaimed a local Mother's Day. From the local level, she went on to Washington, D.C. The politicians there knew a good thing when they saw it and were quick to lend verbal support. Who would say no to Mother's Day? Amen. While West Virginia was the first state to officially adopt the holiday, others followed suit. Proclamation of the day and the various of the day by various state-led representatives, and also J. Thomas Heflin of Alabama, Senator Morris Shepherd of Texas, they joined a joint resolution to Congress that Mother's Day be observed nationwide. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill designating that the second Sunday in May was a legal holiday to be called, quote, Mother's Day, dedicated to what he said was the best mother in the world, which is your mother. For the first few years, the day was observed as a legal holiday, but in absolute simplicity and reverence. But church services were held in honor of all mothers living and ones who had passed. Now, I give that illustration for a couple of reasons here this morning. First of all, so that we understand the history. But second of all, understand that those three women, why were they doing those things? Because at some point, they were influenced by their mother as well. I think about that the last woman we spoke of there, the Anna M. Jarvis. She was doing this because she understood the impact that her mother had had on her life, and she was willing to ensure that that impact did not go to waste and that other mothers would be appreciated as well. All of those pamphlets she put out, all of those things that she did all of that at her own expense. I think it meant something to her. And she did all of that because of how she had been impacted by her mother. You know, all of us have people in our life that impact us greatly. But I truthfully believe, and I know that it's true in my own life, that in everyone's life, arguably the greatest impact is their mother. Who their mother is, what their mother has done, and all of that. I praise the Lord to be blessed and raised by a godly mother, someone who sincerely cared for my father, and then also for me and my siblings as well. Always made sure we were in church. Always made sure that we were faithful to services. My mother had and still has a great impact on my life, and I believe all of my siblings would say the same thing. This is the case for many, if not all of us in this room here today. And I am in no way saying that my mother was perfect. No, none of us are perfect. But I truly believe that my mother cared about the impact that she had on us. And you can see that in the way that she would raise us. Every one of us are human. But what I'm saying this morning is this, that as a mother, our mothers had an impact on us. And the mothers here today understand you have an impact on your children as well. Maybe your children are very young. We had some really young ones represented here. We got ones down in the nursery as well. And we had some young children here today. Maybe you've got young children. Maybe you've got adult children. Understand this, you never cease as a mother to have an impact on your children. This woman we talked about, Anna M. Jarvis, she was doing all of those things after her mother had passed away because the impact her mother had was still impacting her, even though her mother was not here in bodily form, if you will. But understand this, the kind of impact you have on your children is not up to your children. The kind of impact you have on your children is not up to your husband and whether or not he's a godly man or willing to have an impact. And understand, husbands, your impact on your children is not up to whether your wife is having a great impact. Every one of us are responsible for the impact that we have on others individually. Abraham Lincoln said this, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother." That's what he said. Something that we should all get a hold of this morning is that we owe honor to our mothers. But this morning I would like to preach to you a message that I have entitled this, and it's entitled with a question, and it's this: how are you impacting your children? How are you impacting your children? As I begin this message here, though it is geared toward mothers, and rightfully so on Mother's Day, the truth is this, that every single one of us are impacting people with our lives. We all have ones that we have an influence on. Maybe you're here and you have children. You are impacting them. Maybe you're here, you do not have children. Understand that that there are young ladies in this church. There's nieces and nephews that you have. There's friends and family in whose lives you are impacting. If you're a grandparent here today, do not think that for one second your impact has ended with your children. You're impacting your grandchildren as well. You have an impact. So let me ask us all this question today. How are you impacting the ones around you? First of all, I want you to notice this this morning. Notice boldness impacts others. Boldness impacts others. Look at Exodus chapter 1, if you will. There in verse 15 and 16, we We read there, the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other one was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and ye see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Down there in chapter 2, in verse 2 through 4. The woman conceived, bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. But then notice verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. What did this woman realize here by the decree from Pharaoh? This woman understood her child was literally, physically being attacked. There was a charge that was coming for the children there in Egypt that was like nothing had ever been seen like that before. Any Hebrew boy that was born, they were to kill it immediately. They did this very violently. They would throw the children into the river and allow them to either drown or be eaten by whatever was in the river. We would say, well, that's a sick thing to do. It is. It was a terrible thing to do. But this mother here, understand this, and in everybody's mind, in all of these Hebrew ladies there, she's the only one that we read of having the boldness to stand up for her children. The only one. There is different assumptions on how many people were there and or how many Israelites were there in Egypt. Some would say as low as 500,000. Some would say as many as almost a million people there. But yet one lady had the boldness to stand up for her child and say, I'm going to care for him, I'm going to protect him, I'm going to do what I have to do because the Lord has given me this child. Understand this, in today's world, as we are all very well aware, our children are under attack. Maybe not physically speaking, in some ways you could say physically speaking, some of the crazy things that they're trying to do, but mentally and spiritually speaking here this morning, our children are under attack in the very nation of the United States of America. And they're under attack, and especially as a mother, you may sometimes question the impact that you're having on your children because of the way that this world seems to be pumping this craziness into their minds through all of these things between teachers and television and movies and peers and video games and other even lost family members. It seems as though you're outnumbered, doesn't it? Many times it seems as though there's just no hope here. I don't know how I can have a good enough impact when they're being bombarded from all of these sides. Can I challenge you here this morning to be a bold mother like Jochebed was? Don't allow this world to steal your children. Do not allow this world to take control of their minds. No, be bold and raise them for the Lord. Moses here is this little baby. Moses here is the one that's going to be raised in the palace. We'll get into that here in just a little while. Moses is the one that's going to be on the backside of a desert. Moses is the one that God's going to speak to from that burning bush that was not being consumed. Moses is the one who's going to stand before Pharaoh and say, the Lord God of heaven said, let my people go. Moses is the one who's going to bodily lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses is the one who's going to walk up to the Red Sea he's going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's the one who's going to hold out his rod there and the water is going to part because of the power of God. Moses is the one that's going to lead them across that Red Sea there on dry ground. He's the one that's going to lead them through many battles. He's the one who's going to hold his hands up high while they're fighting and God's going to be giving them the victory. Think about all the things that Moses is going to do for God sake, and understand this, because he's doing it for God, understand there was a mother that was bold enough to raise him, even though the rest of the world was against her. she was bold. But Moses fought for God's sake, not for his own sake. And understand this, Jochebed had to have boldness. You know what we need today? We need Christians who are bold. We need parents that are bold. We need mothers and fathers, ones that are willing to stand up in this world and say, it doesn't matter what this world is trying to do. I'm going to raise my children for right. You know, the devil would like nothing more than for you to just throw in the towel and say, it's no use, it's not worth it. That's what Satan would like. That's what he wants. But understand that even though Satan would like nothing more than for you to just throw in the towel and say, well, there's just no way because I'm so outnumbered here. Understand that there is a God in heaven. He cares for you. He cares for your children. He blessed you with those children. He's given you the opportunity to have an impact on them. And even though the devil is battling, can I challenge you this morning? Don't give up the fight. Keep going for God. You never know what's going to happen with your children. You never know what God's going to do with them. Do not allow your boldness to be shaken. Keep living for the Lord. Stand strong on your convictions. Stand strong on the Bible. Do all you can to have your children in services faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And understand this, even if they come to every single service that's offered here, understand they're still spending more time in the world than they are in the house of God. Therefore, our houses need to be a haven of rest for them. The Bible needs to be taught in our homes. Doesn't need to be a place in which the world has all of this influence. No, it needs to be a haven of rest. Do all you can for your children. Church, why are we losing our children to the world by the droves? Why is that? Because the boldness in many parents is gone. Because many parents have just waved the white flag and said, it's not worth it. Unwilling to put in the blood, sweat, and tears, if you will. You know, there's many of preachers of the past and many today who grew up in a house in which daddy wouldn't go to church. Many of preachers who grew up in missionaries and evangelists and ones like that who went to church simply because mommy got us up. Mommy got us dressed. Mommy took us to church. Many of them are that way. And here's what they would say. I praise the Lord for the boldness of my mother. You know, there's many people, maybe some even in this room today, that you trusted Christ as your Savior because of the influence that your mother had on you. Every time the door is open, we need to understand our children need to be in the house of God under the teaching of God's Word. You know what it took for every one of those mothers to raise their children in the house of the Lord? It took boldness. What did it take in the life of Jochebed to birth this child and to keep him hidden for this time while baby boys were literally being hunted? It took boldness. And though we live in America, and I still believe that we live in the greatest country ever known to mankind, though we live here, we enjoy freedoms. Mothers here today, understand this world is hunting for your children, not to take their lives, but to steal their souls. That's what this world wants. Every single mother needs to understand the impact that you can have on your children. We as believers need to understand the impact that we are to have on this lost and dying world as well. There may be some that are raised in church and some children whose mother and father, they have them here when the doors are open, and though some of them in their free will may decide to go the way of the world, understand this, it should never be. It was simply because it was a lack of boldness in mom and dad. No, do everything we can to raise our children for right. Keep living for the Lord. May it not be because mommy and daddy cared more about what they wanted to do on Sunday evening or what they had going on Wednesday night. Church, we as individuals, we have an impact, but how are we impacting others? Mothers here today, continue to be bold for the Lord because your boldness impacts your children. Not only does boldness have an impact, but notice also serving impacts others. So be bold, but then also be serving. Look at Exodus chapter 2, if you will. Exodus chapter 2. You're going to look at verse 5 through verse 10. Notice the Bible says this. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and the maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Of course, this is Moses. His mother had placed him in this basket and put him into the reeds there. And the daughter of Pharaoh found him. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Understand the service that was going on here. Something I can truly say about my mother as I was growing up, and even today, is this, that she was a servant. If there was something that needed to be done, she was right there to do it. She's not a lazy woman by no means. She had four rowdy boys, and then of course my little sister as well. So she had five of us. There was no time to be lazy. Amen. There was stuff to do, but she was a servant. When we began to get jobs, my mom was the honorary chauffeur to and from our job, and never once do I remember her complaining about it. Never once. We had a 2001 Dodge Caravan, and this van went through my older brother learning to drive, and myself, and my younger brother, and even my youngest brother. My sister never had the pleasure to drive this minivan. But I can remember getting into that van early in the morning and my mom taking me to work, or whether it was at night or whatever. And oftentimes she would take me to work, and then when she would have to come back and pick me up, which was, it was about 20 miles away, then she would bring one of my siblings, and then she'd have to go back and pick him up or whatever, depending on which one of my parents could do that. But I never remember her complaining about that. She was a servant. And something that no child will ever understand until they become a parent is the amount of service their mother performed for them. They'll never realize that until they become a parent. You know, something that drives me crazy, because I know what would happen to me if this happened, it drives me crazy to hear a child be disrespectful to their parent. Or to any adult, but especially to their parent. Because I can guarantee you, if I did that to my parent, here's the statement that would come out of their mouth: "If I ever hear you say or do that again, I'll smack you into the second Tuesday of next week." That's exactly what they would say. And you know what I knew? I knew they meant it. Amen? I had to guard my words after that. But the truth of the matter is this. Back talk didn't happen in our household. If a child or a teenager, understand this, if they think they can do it better, it's a cold, hard world out there. And I can guarantee they won't stay out there for long. The standard in our house was this, that we had to give honor where honor was due. I can remember a few times growing up in which we were having a conversation with my mom, and just a little sharpness in our voice, and here's what we would hear. Sometimes from the other end of the house, we would hear my dad's voice, "Ryan," and immediately I would know, I better straighten this up quick. I knew it immediately. Me and all of my siblings had to go through that. But understand this, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." It also says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls." Notice that word "watch." That word "watch" means this. It means to be sleepless. That's what it means. It means to be aware. It has the idea of serving. That's what it has the idea of. They're watching for your soul. You know, something that I've heard many people talk about, and I personally have experienced this before as well. I can remember growing up, walking through the house and seeing the doorway in my parents' room just cracked open a little bit, or walking past the living room, and I can vividly see in my mind seeing my mom on her knees praying for us as her children. I remember that. What was she doing? She was watching for our souls. She was serving us before the throne of God. She cared for us. She still does. I know she still cares for us. It means to be aware, and mothers should be aware. Fathers should be aware. We should be watching for our children. Every single mother here knows that there are times in which you are sleepless. Amen. Some of those were not because you were burning the midnight oil in prayer. It's because the child decided to burn the midnight oil and screaming, amen? But we should be watching for our children, caring for them, serving before the Lord for them. There was a mother on a winter's day who milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove the kids to school, did a washing and mopped the floors, washed the windows and did some chores, cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread. I'm already getting tired, amen, but we're only about halfway through this. Split some firewood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin. Cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled. Churned the butter, baked a cake, then exclaimed, for goodness sake, when the calves ran from the pen and she chased them all back again. Gathered eggs and locked the stable. Back to the house and set the table. Cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all dirty dishes. Fed the cat and sprinkled clothes. Mended a basket full of hose. Then opened the organ and began to play. When you come to the end of a perfect day. Now, every one of us understand how hard our mothers have worked. As in, we see the way that they worked. I don't think any of us understand how hard they worked, but we see how hard they worked. Mothers are always serving their children. But understand this, not in the way of doing everything for their children. That's not what I'm talking about. Though there is a time and a place for that, what I'm talking about is this, raising them to love the Lord. That's the serving that I'm talking about, doing what you can to instill in them the Word of God. There was, from time to time, when I was really young, of course, we had chores to do. We had dishes to wash. There was a cleaning list to complete throughout the week. And we had cows to feed. We had dogs to take care of. We had all kinds of those things to do. And not because mom couldn't do them, but understand this. Here's a news flash for us. We didn't do them because mom couldn't. We did them because, here we go, ready? We lived at home for free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Laziness wasn't allowed. Filth was not accepted. You know, there are times that my mom will tell this story, and to this day, it's not because it wasn't true. It's because I just refuse to believe it. Amen. My mom would walk into my room. I was 12, 13 years old, something like that. She would walk into my room, and there's a path to the bed. And the rest is just stuff, you know. And then there was a place on the bed where I would sleep, and then it was just stuff. I can remember coming home one day and my mom telling me, she says, either you're going to clean that room or I'm going to. Here's what I knew. If mom goes in there and cleans that room, I'll have nothing left. There will be a bed and a table and maybe a little glass of water, and that's it in that room. It'll look like a prison cell, amen? I said, I'm gonna get my room straight. But the truth of the matter is this. We were taught to clean up after ourselves, too. We were taught to do those things. Some mothers have the idea, or at least they act like they have the idea, that they are to continually physically serve their children. And though there is some aspects of that, the service that I'm speaking of this morning is the serving that will positively impact your children, is training them to love the Lord. What's the Bible say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are to train our children. Moses' mother, Jochebed, trained him, and she did it right. She served him in the right way. She implemented the right things. But how do we know that? Understand this. From what we see here, Moses, of course, we know that he was born. He was hid for 3 months by his mother, and then she could not hide him any longer. She put him in this basket and put him in the reeds there. Pharaoh's daughter found him. Moses' sister was there and said, "Do you want me to find a Hebrew that could nurse him?" And so she, of course, gets Moses' mother. It's an amazing miracle that happened there. Moses' mother weaned him there, and then also gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter so that she could raise him. But understand this, even after Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, even after he had been brought up in the leadership of the world power of Egypt, even though he had been trained in the pagan schools, understand this, he remembered what his mother had taught him. He remembered it. He remembered how his mother had served him. And because of that service, as an adult, he unashamedly identified with the people of God. Despite his connection to the royal courts of Egypt, he remembered the impact of his mother's service. So not only does boldness impact, not only does service impact, but notice thirdly here, faithfulness impacts others as well. Faithfulness. I want you to look over at the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to, of course, get to this through our study in Hebrews on Sunday mornings. But Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 23. Speaking of Moses here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says this: "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." What do we see there? We see faithfulness in his parents. Here we see, of course, that boldness again, but we understand that there is a boldness that is seen through self-will, but then there's a boldness that is seen through the life of faith, and it's two different boldness. There is a boldness, if you will, that we see when someone gets mad at someone else and they're in their face and screaming and yelling at this person. We would say that is a boldness. But that's not the boldness we're talking about this morning that's going to impact others for good. You know, as parents, and of course with Mother's Day today, as mothers, something we need to remember, especially in our own homes, is this, that a soft answer turneth away wrath. It takes more boldness to give a soft answer than it does to scream and yell. It takes boldness and takes faithfulness. Faithfulness impacts others. Mothers have a boldness that is need to have a boldness that is found and rooted in faithfulness to God in His Word. I'd like to give you a thought of encouragement here, because maybe there's some here, and of course in this world that we live in, as I mentioned earlier, it seems sometimes as though there's no hope. It seems as though maybe this world is just bombarding our children, and that there's nothing that we can do about that. I want you to look at the impact that you have on your children thus far, and give you a word of encouragement by what happened in the life of Jochebed in raising Moses. Moses was, of course, newborn, 3 months old, and he was placed into that basket there. The daughter of Pharaoh found Moses, and then Moses was taken back to his mother to be weaned. And then once he was weaned, he was brought back to Pharaoh there. It is believed that Moses, somewhere, between the ages of 2 and 5, went to live in the palace of Egypt. It's believed closer to 5 years old But it just depends on the history that you find and all of that. But understand this. His mother only had the opportunity to impact his life for somewhere between 2 and 5 years. And then he went to live in the palace of Egypt. Probably around the 3-year mark or so, but maybe as many as 5. The Bible says until he was weaned. Of course, he was with his mother there. So understand this and dwell on this truth and remind yourself of this often when Satan wants to convince you that there's no hope. If you as a mother will purpose in your heart to have a good impact on your children, to be bold in your stance on the Bible, to serve them in a way that leads them to Christ and directs them to follow him, if you will remain faithful, think about the impact that you can have on your children. Think about this. Moses, for most of his life, from, let's say, age 5, all the way up until he went into the wilderness after he left the palaces of Egypt, so up through his teenage years and all of those things, he was bombarded by pagan teaching. Just before that, there was a short time frame in which he was taught about the God of heaven. He was taught about the I Am. He was taught about the children of Israel and what God had done for them and all of those things. He was impacted for a very short amount of time by his mother's boldness, his mother's faithfulness, and his mother's service. And when he was older, because of the impact of his mother, Moses became the human deliverer of the nation of Israel from the oppressive, slave-driving Egyptians. Think about the impact that you can have on your children, your grandchildren, and on your relatives and the ones here in the church. If you will purpose in your heart to be faithful and have a positive impact, understand this. We only have a certain amount of time to have this impact on our children. That's only while we're on this earth. Are we striving to have a positive impact on them? Not in which we train them just in how to make a lot of money and those types of things. And those are not bad things to do. Our children should know how to work. They should know that. But most importantly, they should be influenced by the Word of God, being in the house of God. Something that I've been burdened about here lately and been talking to different preachers about is this. I think for too long, the mindset in households has been where as we're growing up, we automatically assume that we're going into some secular career. And we need secular careers. We need faithful laymen in the church that are doing these other things, that are working trades and all of those things. I'm not down talking those things. But what I'm saying is this. For too long, we have tried to subconsciously, if you will, we've programmed our children to go into a secular career. And then if they say, God called me into the ministry, we say, well, praise the Lord for that. And we should praise the Lord for a call into the ministry. But why don't we train our children to assume they're going into full-time ministry? And then if the Lord uses them in a secular career, then they can be faithful in their local church as well. You see, that mindset has got to switch, and I truthfully believe that mindset switches not only in the church house, but in our own homes. Through this impact that we're talking about today. Church, we need to have strong families. We need that. We have an impact on our children. Mothers have an impact. Fathers have an impact. Grandparents have an impact. We all have an impact. I've got many ones that are coming to my mind through this message today that have had an impact on me, a positive impact, and it's ones that in no way are related to me. But I remember their stance. I remember their faithfulness, their boldness, the way that they served others. I remember those things. Let's understand the impact that we are to have. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, I have some of his study books even there in my office, but Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had 4 sons and they were all preachers. Someone once came into the drawing room when all the family was there and they thought they would see what Howard, one of the sons, was made of. So they asked this question: Howard, who's your favorite preacher? Howard had great admiration for his father, but he looked across the room and then without a moment's hesitation, he answered, "My mother." Think about that. Not in the messages that she preached, but in the life that she lived. Too often, we discount the impact we have just through our everyday lives. You know, the Bible talks about that they may be won through your conversation. It's not talking about the words that you say. It's talking about the life that you live. That's the impact that we have. And we're either having a positive impact for the Lord or we're having an impact for the world. It's one or the other. And if we don't have the boldness that we should have for the Lord, if we're not serving in a biblical way, if we're not faithful the way that we should be, understand this, it is impossible for us to have the godly impact on our children that we should have. We're impacting them.